From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
This is Alan Cairns saying hello to you once again. It's good to have you listening in as we turn to Colossians chapter 1 another time to let the Bible speak on the wonderful subject, the preeminence of Christ in redemption. That's our theme. I trust the Lord has been blessing it to you and will continue to do so in today's broadcast. Before we turn to Colossians 1, however, our daily devotional for today comes from Numbers 20, verse 8, Christ the Rock. The Lord said to Moses, when he was looking for water for the children of Israel, speak ye unto the rock. Many years before the events surrounding today's text, the Lord told Moses to smite the rock to provide water for the people. Now at Kadesh, he adds to the gospel type by instructing Moses to speak to the rock to obtain that precious supply. He was making the way of salvation very clear. Christ is the rock, and as the rock he would be smitten once for all. His one great sacrifice would purchase eternal redemption for his people. The wound once given would open an inexhaustible fountain of blessing to meet the need of all who rest in Christ. Thus, no further stroke is needed or allowed. Rather, the thirsty sinner needs only to speak to the rock, and he will find all that his soul needs in that constantly flowing river of the water of life. The initial smiting of the rock was inflicted by Moses, the lawgiver, the representative of the justice of God. The message is clear. When justice is satisfied, there will be no withholding of mercy. Since Christ has satisfied the justice of God by his suffering, his Father will unstintingly pour forth his merciful remedy for the parched souls of men and women. God will not, yea, cannot, now withhold the blessings of the covenant. He is eternally satisfied and infinitely delighted with the travail of Christ's crosswork, and out of justice as much as mercy, he will bestow upon his people all that Christ has won and purchased for them. What error there is on this point! Rome, with its dogma of the Mass, would smite Christ again and again, claiming that in the Mass there is a true expiatory sacrifice for sins of the living and the dead. What blasphemy, what an insult we have here. What distrust. These things, blasphemy, insult, distrust, are constantly being heaped upon Christ by Romish religion and every other religion that would crucify him afresh. Ignorance shrouds the souls of countless multitudes who are blinded by such religions to the sufficiency of Christ's work. Have you been in such ignorance, unwittingly smiting the rock, when God says, speak to it? Forsake that wicked way and those unrighteous thoughts. Speak to the rock today, and he will have mercy upon you and will abundantly pardon. And our thought for the day comes from John Murray, Scottish theologian who taught for many years at Westminster Theological Seminary. Christ did not make a token payment which God accepts in place of the whole. Our debts are not cancelled, they are liquidated. Each month, Let the Bible Speak produces what we simply call the Let the Bible Speak monthly tape, or CD for those who prefer it. This is a sort of electronic magazine, and it's a very useful thing to have. For example, some older folk may have difficulty reading a magazine, but they can listen to a tape or CD. Another example, some people are pushed for time, but have time as they drive here and there in their car, and a good tape can be a means not only of making the journey more pleasant, but of spiritual blessing to their hearts. The Let the Bible Speak monthly tape or CD has an exposition of Scripture, a devotional message, and a testimony or missionary segment, all with some good Christian music. Our monthly tape or CD is available to you free of charge if you simply write or call and request it. And I hope you will. I know it will be a blessing to your heart, so get in touch today. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. Continuing our studies in Colossians chapter 1 on the preeminence of Christ in redemption, we say a little more today on his preeminence in the life of the church as taught in verse 18, and show that because of his purchase of redemption for his people, in all things he holds the first place, and this is God's purpose for, in, and through his church unto all eternity. Then we come to a most important truth that we'll take up today and tomorrow, God willing. That is the preeminence of Christ in the plenitude or the fullness of his perfections. He is the only manifestation of God that ever has been or ever can be, so that when the kingdom is delivered up to God, there is a very great and true and wonderful sense in which, while God is all in all, we will never lose sight of the preeminence of our Redeemer. Because all we know of God, all we feel of God, even through the countless ages of a glorified state in eternity, will be through our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. That's God's ultimate purpose through the church. But can I say it's God's purpose for and in the church, that he might have the preeminence. This is something every preacher needs to learn. Preachers, and we don't mean this in a bad way, although some people may take it that way, but normally, I have known preachers who have gone over the top in this, and they have been foolish and even sinful. But for the most part, we don't mean anything bad by it. But preachers are likely to talk about my church. What they mean is the place where I am called to serve, the place for which before God I hold a terrible, terrible responsibility. It's a scary thought that I'm going to stand before God. It's a scary thought that I have a responsibility for a congregation over which he has made me a minister, a pastor, an overseer. If that doesn't solemnize a man's heart, he shouldn't be in the ministry. He's an idiot. Putting it bluntly. That's normally what we mean when, by my church. But you see, it's not my church. And it's not your church. It's Christ's
church. There's a very natural sense in any church where there is a focus on the pulpit. And if a man is used to bless the souls of men and women and see people saved and others recovered and others blessed and built up, there is a very natural sequence of events where God gives a people a love for their minister and gives a minister a love for the people, and there is therefore inevitably a focusing of attention upon a man. But if that man is wise, he will seek to make people look beyond the pulpit and look beyond the person in the pulpit and get their eyes on Christ, for His must be the preeminence. Unless I have been a finger post to point you to Christ, I have failed both you and the Lord. He must have the preeminence. He must have the first place. You know, if only we would keep that before us, there'd be a lot less squabbles in churches. You'd have a lot less people getting offended and getting bitter and getting angry and falling out with each other. If only they would keep Christ in the first place. He must be first in our worship. Must be a Christ-exalting, Christ-centered worship. He must be first in our walk. Why do we live the way we live? Unto Him. For Him. To give glory unto Him. In all our work, in all our words, in the love and the devotion and the passion of our heart, in our home, in our business, in the private place, in the public place, in every relationship, in every fellowship, let Christ have the first place. That's God's purpose. And can I say to you, the one who became our Redeemer, I was trying to emphasize this morning. Get a vision, if you can, of the absolute eternal greatness of this person who became our Redeemer. The God of all creation, the Creator of the whole universe, the upholder of this vast universe. He became our Redeemer. And He deserves nothing less than always to hold the first place. You see, what I'm saying is, this giving Christ the preeminence, this life of utter devotion and consecration to Christ, is not for a super spiritual elite among God's people. This is mere Christianity. If He's your Savior, He's your Lord. If He's your Savior, He is first in everything. In everything. You walk, as we read earlier tonight in Colossians chapter 1, unto all pleasing our God in Christ in all things. So the first thing we can say about Christ as our preeminent one in redemption, that He's preeminent in the life of the church. But verse 19 has a beautiful statement, that He's preeminent in the fullness of His perfections. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. You'll notice that the words "the Father" are italicized, and this really could just as well be translated that it pleased the fullness to dwell in Him. Many commentators take it that way. I personally think that's strained. I think that it can't make full sense of all that's around. And as usual, I think our Authorized Version translators got it absolutely right. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Very simple statement. Just think again. Because here there's a huge debate. What is this fullness? Does this refer to his eternal fullness of deity? And from the very early days of the church, there have been people who argued strenuously, that's what it means. Many Orthodox commentators take it, this is the fullness of deity. I believe they're absolutely wrong. And I'll tell you why. It says it pleased the Father that this fullness would dwell in him. That is describing an act of the good pleasure and the sovereign will of the Father. And I tell you tonight that the deity of Jesus Christ does not exist by the will of the Father. It does not exist as a choice that was made by the Father. It exists eternally, essentially, necessarily, as I took some pains to establish this morning. God is not a Trinity because He chose to be a Trinity. God didn't set out as a unit and decide to become a Trinity. God is a Trinity. He cannot be anything but a Trinity. And so therefore there is no sense whatsoever in which we may say that the eternal deity of the Son of God is His because it pleased the Father to make it so. The Bible doesn't teach that. What this is referring to is that communicated fullness which the Father, in His gracious sovereign will for our redemption, made over to His incarnate Son to equip Him for the work that lay ahead of Him. And the Bible really is full of this. This is the giving of the gifts that the mediator needed for His work. Go way back to the book of Isaiah chapter 50. And we'll not read this whole passage, but verses 4 through 8. You've got statements such as this. Or such as these, should I say. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. This, as you'll see from what comes later, is the voice of the Messiah. This is the voice of Him who said, I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. You see, this is Christ. And He says, the Lord God gave me the tongue of the learned. He says, He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. He hath opened mine ear. The reference is very clear. This is God the Father giving to the incarnate Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, all the gifts that are necessary, the wisdom, etc., necessary to do the work of the Redeemer. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him, that is the Messiah. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. The Spirit shall rest upon him. For what purpose? For the purpose of the work of redemption. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth, I have put my Spirit upon him. Again, the communication of fullness. We find the same in the New Testament. John 3, verses 34 and 35. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. There's the fullness. Luke 4, verse 18, quotes from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel, and so on. Peter took up the same theme in Acts 10, 38, in the house of Cornelius. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. He told the Hebrew Christians in chapter 9, 14 of Hebrews, that Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot to God. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:18 that he was put to death in the flesh, but our Savior was quickened by the Spirit. Now, these are all very important references. What are they saying? They're saying that when God sent his Son into the world, he became a man. Not that he lost his deity, but he took into union with that deity a true humanity. And God poured out upon the God-man such a fullness that there was absolutely nothing lacking in Christ that needed to be there for the full, perfect, and eternal accomplishment of the work of our redemption.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.